This place is not your home. Amen. You're a citizen of heaven. Now think of that. You're a citizen of heaven passing through this land, and you're passing through that. So if you would appease me today, if you repeat after me, I'll give Starkey 10. Oh, no. I'm a citizen of heaven.
I'm a citizen of heaven.
I'm just passing through.
I'm a citizen of heaven.
I'm just passing through. I'm a citizen of heaven. This world does not control me. Amen. You know, we are, as born again Christians, if you're here, if you are born again, awesome. If you're not, I pray that you will seek the Lord while you still can. But yeah, Vicki. Let me move over here. Vicki have a hard time. She's sitting right in. You get the worst seat in the house, Vicki. But we have to remember that we are citizens of heaven. We are on this earth for a short time period, and we are bringing heaven to earth. Amen? You know, we are not controlled by the things of this earth. We're controlled by things of heaven. Now, while we occupy this earth, this flesh and blood, there are times that we'll have to follow the established rule of law. And God says to do that. So as long as man's law is not in violation of his law, go ahead and follow him. And I know here recently we have a suggestion to wear a mask. It might even pass a law where if you're going to go shopping, you got to wear a mask. Okay? I don't like that idea at all. I don't like wearing a mask, even though I look better wearing one. Okay? But I'm just passing through. If I can wear a mask when I go shopping and it makes whoever I'm shopping from more comfortable, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? They're not taking away my liberties. But as we advance, if we advance in these days, there are going to be more and more challenges coming our way. And we just have to establish in our heart and know that, hey, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is my Savior and He's my Lord. He has rescued me from myself. He rescued me from this world. And He left me here for a while. He left each one of us here for a while to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, He never forsake you. He's never going to leave you. He's with you through every battle that you go through. Every challenge, every temptation, He's right there with you. But understand that He is the victor. He has already won victory over anything that's coming our way. Things that you see today is only temporary. All the stuff that you hear is only temporary. But what you have a hold of is a firm foundation. You have a covenant with the living God. And that covenant will never be broken. Understand that he'll never change himself. So I want to share a couple of things, and I'm going to read from a different translation today. I want to share from the Passion Translation, but I want us to pop over to Matthew 24 for a minute and plow there for a second. I just want to make sure you understand how blessed we are to be living in these days. And this is what Matthew, he had wrote this. Listening to Jesus, he quoted Jesus. And here we are 2,000 years later, really in the meat and potatoes of this prophecy. But in the 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 1, again reading from the Passion Translation, as Jesus was leaving the temple courts, the disciples came to him and pointed out the beautiful aspects of the articular the building of the temple structures. And Jesus turned to them and said, take a good look at all these things, for I am telling you, there will not be one stone left upon another. It will all be leveled. And later when they arrived at Mount of Olives, his disciples came privately to where he was sitting and said, tell us, when will these things happen? And what supernatural signs should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age. And Jesus answered, at that time deception will run rampant. So be aware that you are not fooled. For many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, I am God's anointed. And they will lead many astray. You will hear wars nearby and revolutions on every side, with more rumors of wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of the world system is destined to happen. But it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding. Nation will go to war against others, and kingdom will go against kingdom. And there will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of epic proportions, horrible epidemics, and famines in place after place. This is how the first contractions of birth pains of the new age will begin. Now, that was his sign given to the church. This is going to be a sign of my return. When you see these things start taking place, he says, I'm coming. And folks, you know, we just saw this COVID-19, this pestilence take place. And I just praise God as the church humbled ourselves and prayed and seeked his face. We look at the numbers on the COVID-19. We look at what they expected here in America to be like a 5.24 death rate for Americans. And it was like 0.002. Praise God for that. If you think about it, guys, and now some people say, oh, this blew things out of proportion. But I give glory to my God, Jehovah. Okay? Because look at all the ventilators we needed. And we're running short of ventilators. And look at the hospital bed that was set up for the overflow in New York and other places. And look how many of them did not take one patient and they closed down. Praise God. Look at, we were able to take ventilators and send them overseas. And we sent some to Russia and a couple other countries over there that was getting hit hard. Look what God has done. You know, he said, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Man, that's God's covenant with his people, with us. So I just thank you all for praying and humbling yourselves. And it needs to continue to always have God search me more. God, what else is in this heart of mine that is a stench to your nostrils? And let him remove it. Amen? I mean, let him just seek him more and more like King David said, create in me a clean heart. If you want to be encouraged, if you just want to lay it out there someday, just talk to God, go to Psalms 51 and just read it like a decoration sometime. I did that yesterday. You just lay it out there to God. Say, yes. And boy, I tell you what, King David, to me, he brings so much encouragement because you'll find yourself somewhere in that psalm. And then laid it out there and said, God, this cleansed me. Boy, this is awesome. But Psalms 51, it was just fantastic. But we see these things taking place. And these are signs to the church, to each one of us here. Hey, the Master's getting ready to come. He's coming back. Now, it says about nation against nation, kingdom to kingdom. So I don't want you to don't be scared as things start to crumble here in America more and more. It's going to take place. I'm not saying today or tomorrow, but it's going. Don't be scared. Look at the kingdom of darkness is coming against the kingdom of light, and there's a great shaking going on right now. Even those who's supposedly in the light, they're falling away because truly they don't have a connection with the Lord. But you see, right now, we just came out this past week. We just found out that General Flynn, who was convicted and sent to prison. It was all false testimony. It was set up trying to destroy the United States of America. And this is now starting to come out. And so many more heads are on the chopping block. I mean, this nation is going to be going back and forth, uglier and uglier and uglier. But Jesus, 2,000 years ago, had Matthew write down, hey, Shepherd Christian Assembly, these things don't take place. I'm still in control. Okay, but these things will take place, so don't lose faith. You know? Continue to intercede and pray for our nation. And I want to encourage you, we still have the opportunity So let God guide us in who to govern our country. So make sure that you are registered to vote this fall. Amen? And vote according to the Bible. That's all I'll tell you. Vote according to God's Word. Amen? Man, we have this opportunity to continue to make a difference. But now what's going on? Now we got this COVID-19, and they're saying that they're trying to come up with an antidote for an inoculation, which might be ready by next year. Now every citizen will have to be vaccinated with this. And at the same time, they're having Mr. Gates is behind having this global identification chip installed in everybody that has the vaccination. Now, I'm not saying it is, it isn't. I'm just saying that with this identification chip, you can prove that you've been vaccinated from this COVID-19. And so you won't have to wear the mask. And then actually, you eventually get to go shopping. You can go shopping. You can buy and sell stuff. Without that, you won't be able to prove that you've been vaccinated. Or you need vaccination papers. Now, what I'm sharing there is that just the technology is already available to show us what the mark of the beast is. And the mark of the beast said, now again, I'm going to claim that I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast. Okay, I'm not saying, okay, we got to see how things go on down the road. What I'm saying is that the technology is there. And this global identification thing. I mean, you think about it in a way, if you're not in the scriptures, and, well, I think everybody should have this vaccination. And yes, we should be able to prove that. That way, when I get on an airplane, I know that when I want me, they know I've been vaccinated. And then here comes Daryl along, and he doesn't have one, then I don't want to sit beside him. So, in a way, it makes sense. But the mark of the beast is shown in the book of Revelations, which will take place, and from our studies, and many other pastors that I study with, this mark will be implemented during the 7 years of tribulation. At the beginning of 7 years of tribulation. Now, some pastor might disagree with me. So, that's how close we are with the technology for the mark of the beast to come out. You know? I believe in Revelation 4:1, when the angels spoke to John, they come up here, to me that was the taking away of the church. That's the rapture of the church. Okay? If you study the scriptures from Revelation 4:1 to the last chapter, the church is never mentioned again. Okay? So, anybody with me? Anybody follow me on this? Does anybody have no idea what I'm talking about? Don't be bashful. I mean, we're here to learn. Amen? That's what I'm standing up here for. So, the technology is lining up for this to take place. I'm not saying that it is the mark of the beast coming. I'm just saying, look, just keep your ears open. I believe somewhere along the line that we have to denounce the master. You know, we'll take this mark, the person has to say, I believe in one world government, one world religion, and one world currency, which is coming. I'm not sure on that part. Again, just give me a heads up. Now, the next thing in this book, in Matthew 24, we have got murder hornets coming our way. Y'all heard about the murder hornets yet? You heard about that? Yes, yes, yes. And to my understanding, again, I'm a novice, but from what I can gather is that these hornets don't attack people, per se, unless they're provoked, okay? They come after and attack bees. They murder bees, okay? Huh? They come after honeybees. And folks, honeybees are so important for our food because it pollinates from one little flower to another. The book talks about droughts, famines. So we got the disease. Here comes the murder hornets to wipe out the bee population. So what will take place in the near future will be less food available. Okay, be that drought or that famine. So we already know these things will be taking place, right? So it won't catch us off guard. If we don't have some type of preparation for it, we can do that. But when the birth pain starts, they don't stop. They continue on. And as this comes through, what's going to happen next? I don't know. Okay? But again, for us to remind ourselves that we are citizens of heaven passing through here. And while we're here, for us to do what we can to share the light of Christ to those around us and to comfort one another. You know, not to say, I just give up. No. You know, it would get ugly. I mean, can you imagine what it was like when the Master rose up from the grave, went to heaven, okay? And then here are the disciples out there, they're preaching. And you know how many people say, all right, thank you. Some did, but not everybody. They hated the disciples, okay? They hated the truth being brought forth. And we have the truth in us. You have something that the world needs. You have liberation in your voices. You have liberation in your word. Fear motivates people. If you don't believe me, last month you tried to buy a toilet paper? I mean, we don't worry about getting food. If you don't have food, you don't need toilet paper. You know what I'm saying? But fear will motivate people. And if we keep people fearful, we'll get them to do anything. But with us, as a Christian, we know the truth. We already know these things will be taking place. Okay? And that can encourage us. At the same time, encourage others. It's already been spoken here. Because we show this part here, but then we show the part also where Jesus comes back, can we not? We can show the part about, man, the great reunion in heaven. Amen. Everything that we ever needed, God has always provided for us. And He'll continue to do that. But one after another, and you can see that the last 3.5 months, the years in America, has not our nation been divided more and more? Hasn't been fighting one another back and forth? And that's just America. I truly believe that America is one of the great last stands for Christianity. I mean, as a whole, as a nation itself, okay? We get plenty of brothers and sisters around. But in order for this one world government to take place, America has to be removed. I mean, that's just it. I mean, we're God-fearing, Jesus Christ-believing Christians. We honor Him, and somehow they got to try to squash that somehow. So, my last thing on the topic here is, do what we can do, but don't ever compromise the Word of God. Don't ever say, well, I know, but don't ever compromise. You know, last thing I saw, just a reading yesterday, that they're saying that singing, when church gathers, they sing, is more deadlier. I ain't making this up, guys. Yeah. That when you're singing, you know, praise you, Jesus. Boy, your droplets goes out there farther now. And that might be a bad thing to be doing. And guys, I'm not a microbiologist. I can't tell you that kind of stuff. But a time will come, each one of us will say, okay, listen, He's my Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm going to praise Him from the top of my lungs to my last breath. And so be it. If my last breath is in this church because somebody coughed on me, then I shall praise Him in heaven. A time will come for each one of us, and each one of us will get there at a different time, okay? We're all coming from somewhere. You know, we suspended gathering here for a month or so because they say, you know, if we keep our social distancing, and I have no problem with that. I want to listen to medical advice, okay? I want the best for you guys. You know, people say, well, yeah, but if you got great faith, well, I might have great faith, but a new person might just come in the door and don't have faith, okay? So we're doing what they've asked us to do. Today we've gathered here. We're at least 6 foot apart. We're on bleached chairs and stuff. So don't blame me if your pants are discolored tomorrow, okay, guys? At least you know that you're clean, you know what I'm saying? But we do what we can to protect one another. I think we should do that, okay? But I don't know what's going to come down the road. And by the way, I'll say this. The government in the United States has no control over churches. Please understand that. We have We have freedom of religion, not freedom to worship. It's deeper than that. Freedom of religion. See, you can worship at home, amen? The freedom of religion is that we can gather together. And no law will be passed by the government ever to infringe upon our rights, okay? But saying that, Brother Paul said this, you know, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Amen? So, that's why we did what we did. We stepped back. And that's why we're doing right now, sitting up this way. We'll be this way for a week or so. We'll continue to follow and see what the guidelines all are. My heart is always for you guys, what's best for you, but also to bring God the glory. And the time will come, sooner or later, I know it will be, say, okay, He's Jehovah. We've done what we've could to appease. But He's our God. And you will see a mighty move of God. Folks, hang in there. You're going to see a mighty move of Jehovah. I'm the Yahweh. I'm telling you what. You will see. And not just that you'll be looking at it. You're going to be part of it. You're going to be part of this awesome move of God. That there is a God in heaven. And He's still alive. You know what I'm saying? And you make any laws you want. You do whatever you want. But no one is going to dethrone God Almighty. So maybe be encouraged. Amen? Amen. Questions, comments? Before I step forward, talk about our mamas for a minute. There's no dumb questions, you know. And Carol, you had a comment the other day about bees. We're talking about bees, and you said you had a thing in the Hebrew or translation there. Oh, it's a long thing? Okay. She's got a thing about bees, but it's a long teaching, she said, so we won't. We'll talk about that later on then, I guess, amen? But mamas. How many moms are here glad you're a mama? Amen, amen. How many mamas here wish you did things different when you become a mama? Yeah. We all do, don't we? Well, hang on. I got to take this off a second. I know. I need somebody to dress me sometimes. Anyway, thank you, son. I really should have Vicky up here, somebody who's more of a baker, but for a moment. Oh, no, I know. This is how messy I might be today, you know? Anybody ever bake a cake? Cookies? Bobby never have? Never? Oh, my land sakes. I burn a few of my days, you know what I'm saying? I have never baked a cake. I'll confess that, okay? But I believe this is how you make it. I believe, first of all, you need flour. Okay? I need a mask on that. That's good. And I seen my grandma do this one time. She made, I think, molasses cookies. Oh, man. That stuff is fantastic. You ever make molasses baked beans? Oh, my. Mm-mm. And then we need salt. Here. Sugar. Ooh. It's. Look at that. There we go. Don't laugh too hard. You guys are going to eat this in a minute.
Oh, man.
You got to put another ingredient in. You guys see me back here? You put milk in it. A little bit of water. The thing I don't have is eggs. They're too expensive to goof around with. So, then you stir it up. Wow. We got a camera on that. I'll show you how really. Now, yeah, you can imagine how it is. It works, okay. Now, this stuff here is supposed to turn to something you can eat. Now, some of the stuff by itself, you ever eat molasses? It's good on a small scale. If you take a big spoonful of molasses like you would sugar, nah, that's over with. It's almost like chewing tobacco juice, just about sometimes, anyway, okay? Sugar, what's that?
Must be like
blackstrap. Yeah, you're right. Sugar is not bad by itself. Salt, boom. But you put it all together. Then you're going to put it in the oven. Now, you put all your ingredients in the bowl. Best that you could. You mix it all up, okay? You're not sure how it's going to turn out, but you did everything that you could. Now, the minute you put it in the oven, you have no more control of it. Now it depends upon your oven. Think of that. You set the temperature at 400 degrees. You know, cook it for 8 minutes or whatever the instruction says. You're at the mercy of the oven. You could put all the mixture right in, perfect. You've done everything you thought was right. You could even put a couple of eggs in there and crack the shells and leave the shells in there by mistake, okay? But now you put this ingredients into the oven. And that oven, if that 400 degree temperature in the oven is really 250, and you put it in there for 8 minutes, you're going to bring it out, it's going to be water, isn't it? Or the oven temperature is 400 and you put it in and it's actually 500, yeah, you have a smoke alarm going off. Yep, we know what those are like. Okay. So everything depends upon the oven. Once you put the ingredients together, the oven. Now, if you have a perfect oven, you follow it. Oh. Man, that's a pretty good oven. Look at that. Can you believe that? Now you get that awesome? Man. What? Oh. Oh, wow.
That is good.
Look at that. Isn't that a fantastic oven? Yes. Kind of reminds me that back in the 60s at Lucy's Toy Shop, and they reach in and pull out these different toys and Mr. Green Jeans. Okay. No idea who Mr. Green Jeans. Oh, look at that. Look at that cake. Wow. Now, it's amazing what all that ingredients could turn out to be by putting it into an oven that works properly. But you know the amazing thing, guys, when you look at these, in reality, they're all made with the same stuff. They just look different. Cookie's fantastic for a snack. Okay? Birthday party, or if you got guests over. But they're all equal. The same ingredients went in, just came out looking different. And guys, God has laid that upon my heart for moms out there. Man, some of you, when you started raising your children, you didn't walk with Jesus, okay? You didn't walk with the Lord yet. That bowl I mixed up was empty. And you might have went for years out walking with the Lord. And you did. That empty bowl that you sat on that kitchen shelf for hours, for years, once you took it down and started putting stuff in it, you started mixing it up the best that you could. But when you took that and you placed that in the hands of the Master, Jesus Christ, and He is the perfect oven. And what we have to do is understand that as you did what you could, you poured into your kids the best that you could, we need to trust God to take it from there. Amen? You might put some stuff in your kid's life that, oh man, I wish I never did that. But that's okay. Like I said earlier, them little eggshells in the batter, they'll dissipate. Okay? Doesn't matter what you put in, as you put them into the hands of God. We got to trust in God. You put all the ingredients that you could in there. And some kids will turn out to be a cookie. You know what I'm saying? But God's got a purpose for a cookie. Not everyone is going to be a cake. Understand that. Okay? A cake represents somebody been out there and probably everybody sees that they're a preacher or whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying? But what we have to do, what God wants the ladies to do, every one of you, is just trust Him. Trust Him. As you pour it into your children, His ingredients, I don't care if your kids are 20 years old before you started pouring into them, or 30 years old, or 40 years. As you started putting the ingredients into them, God's Word takes it from there. He says, my Word is Spirit, and Spirit is life. Okay? It took a while. It took 8 minutes, I think, to make a cookie. A cupcake, I think it takes, I don't know, 12 minutes. And a cake, I don't know, 3 hours, I don't know. Okay. But see, every one of these takes a different time to be finished to what they're supposed to be, okay? Maybe you don't see the end results yet on your children. You know, maybe you want to see a cookie, but God's got a cake and lined up for them. Okay? It's trusting in Him. Say, God, I did it. I put the ingredients in the bowl. I stirred it up. Your Word is the ingredients. I spoke into the life. I'm speaking to the life today. I pray for them. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm going to continue to honor You, Lord, and intercede for them. Trusting God's Word will not come back void. That's where you got to be at, ladies. You got to be there. Yeah. How many of us, don't raise your hands, but how many of us were perfect kids growing up? How many of us, Bob, yeah, you and your writer, I know. No wonder they shot at you. I don't know. But the thing of it is I look at my own life, okay? I was raised in church. Okay? 18 years old, I thought, well, I really don't need church. Okay? But here I was, 20 years later, I come back to Jesus. Amen? I get that part in between that we won't talk about. Okay? But isn't that where we all come from, probably? Okay? But when we see our children in that little area, I blur, I'm no good, I'm worthless. No, you're not. Understand, you're not. I know sometimes we call it sowing wild oats. I don't know what you call it. Did you ever see King David mess up? Or not see him, ever hear of him messing up? Okay. You ever see Abraham deny his wife? I mean, have you seen other people in scriptures that messed up and turned out all right? Well, quit being so hard on yourselves, ladies. Please, trust God. Trust in His Word. Trust in the prayers that you have. And God takes all these things, and that's how He makes cookies. I know that you don't do cookies and cupcakes probably the same way. Well, God doesn't create every one of us. He doesn't mold us all in the same way or for the same purpose. How many people here ever heard of an apostle by the name of Peter? Oh, wow. What do you remember about him? Married, he's a fisherman. Okay. Somebody said he denied Jesus 3 times. I heard that. Okay. How about Brother Paul? Kill Christians. Okay. What else you remember about Paul? He wrote most of the New Testament. Think of that. You ever heard of a guy named John the Baptist? What do you remember about him? He got beheaded for the master, did he not? Yes. Yes. Jesus wrote in, and don't turn here, but in Matthew 21 you'll find this documented. Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He rode in, we call it a triumphal entry. He went into Jerusalem to lay his life down, to complete what the Father had lined up for him. Now, anybody hear about a guy named Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Have you heard of him?
Yep.
Well, at least some of you have been. All right, amen. Who owned the colt and donkey that they went in and untied and brought? What was that person's name? Nobody knows. It's not mentioned. He said, you go in there and you're going to find a colt and a donkey there, you untie and say the master's got need of it, okay? Somebody had to tie that colt and donkey up here. Somebody had it been used by God in order for somebody to untie this colt and donkey to take it outside the gates of Jerusalem, put Jesus on it, and bring him back in. For scriptures to be fulfilled. Don't know his name, but look how he's used by God. Think about that. This guy's parents may never knew that it was their son or daughter that tied the donkey up. You know, I know it might seem small, but look at it. Not everybody who follows God has a name out there where you can hear it or see it. It's the things behind the scene that are being done. But you got to trust God that, okay, I don't see this work taking place yet, but I'm going to trust in you. And at the same time, look at yourself. God isn't done with you yet. Maybe some of you here today that, man, I don't know. I just, inside of me, I just feel this thing that, I don't know. I'm not relaxed. I'm jittery. I'm kind of nervous. What is it? Well, chances are what it is that you settled on being a cookie, but God's got you to be a cupcake. And he's working on it. Understand, guys? Seriously. How many of you, and Carol wrote in the bulletin about this, how many of you in the past 4 or 5 weeks have been alone with God more than ever before in maybe your entire life? How many of you have read more Word of God, spent more time praying? How many of you have listened to more pastors out there preaching on the internet and stuff? Look at they pour it into you, okay? Because he is preparing you for what's coming. And that's a mighty move of God. You know, we might look at this and say, oh, that is terrible, the church is. No. God is preparing his people. And what's the best way to prepare us is get us alone and talk to us. You know? Get us, and God, what's going on? And how many times have you questioned God in the last 4 or 5 weeks? You know? What's going on here? Reading the scripture. Oh, I understand more and more. Because he is preparing his troops for a great push. I don't know what they call it in the military, but you know, when that last hurrah, and that's where he's getting us at. He prepares for that. You know, we have in Mark chapter 2, another guy stuck out. It talks about the guy, he was paralyzed. And his friends put him in a blanket. And brought him down to the master. The master was in the house and he was preaching, having a service. There was no room. No room at all in the house. So what do? They want to get their son to Jesus because they know, or their friend to Jesus because they know that he's a healer. They climb on top of the roof, cut a hole in it, and lower him down through the ceiling. Wow. Now, can you tell me the name of the guy who was paralyzed? No. Can you tell me the names of the four guys who carried him? No. But did they do a mighty move of God? Amen. And just a one complete encounter. See, it took somebody to carry him down there, okay? It took somebody. There he was. You might look at him and say, man, he's never going to be he's worthless. He can't do nothing. He'll never amount to anything. Now, I'm not saying because he's paralyzed. I'm saying because he's being who he is. People might have wrote him off. But man, they brought him to Jesus. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Changes his whole life around. And here he is today. We don't know what his name is. So have you been praying for your kids? So you've been taking your kids to Jesus. The healer. The one that calls the blind to see. The lame to walk. Those who were paralyzed and couldn't move. Back to movement again. Wow. Is he not a respecter of persons? Is he the same today he was yesterday? And then doesn't all these things that we look in the scriptures, doesn't all this bring God to glory? Amen. I mean, praise God, if you were born and you've been perfect all your life, praise God that you are, okay? But for the rest of us, it's the things that we failed at in life that God has corrected and forgave us and raised us up that brings Him glory. So for some of us, you can think about your kids for a moment. Look at all the glory that you'll bring God. Amen? And look at all the glory that you brought God from allowing Him to change your life. Have confidence in that. They're in the oven. God's raising them up. It just takes time. I know. Especially if you'd like to eat like I do. You want that timer? You ever set a timer on the stove and you advance it by a minute because you want to eat quicker? The food's not done yet, but you do anyway. In your head, you think, okay. And we do the same thing. God, come on. Come on. No. God knows exactly what He's doing. He knows what ingredients need to be put in there. He knows how long to stir it up. How long it has to be in the oven, but we got to trust in Him on the end results. You know, because He ain't done yet. He isn't. And He's not done with you. Don't compare yourself. Don't be a cupcake, compare yourself to a cake. You know what I'm saying? Cupcakes are fantastic, and so are cakes. Be who God's called you to be. Allow Him to direct your steps. Let Him use your mouth the way that you speak, your actions the way you act. You know, let God use all that. And don't find your self-worth comparing to other people. Find it to compare it to the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. And be encouraged by that. Amen. You know, I'll close with this, is that Mary... Talk about mamas. You know, Mary had a baby named Jesus. And one day they were in town, coming home from town. She was talking. I'm going to say nothing about women talking, okay? But they discovered 3 days later that she left Jesus in town. I mean, she left the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Having the awesome responsibility of bringing the Savior into the world. And you get so busy, and of course you're moving back and forth, to find out that you left Jesus in town. You have to go back and find Him. You know, I don't know how worried she was. I wonder, oh my land, what am I going to do? What's God going to think of me now? Boy, He gave me and trust me to this child, and now I've lost him. Oh man, I bet He's doing this. I bet every imagination was going through her head what happened to Jesus. Could, at least. Okay, Scripture doesn't speak. But she finds Jesus in the temple teaching. And she discovered right then that, wow, even though I wasn't hovering over my child, even though I wasn't watching him, in my absence, God had my back. And He's got your back. He says, Psalms 91:11, that He has angels assigned to us to watch over us. And the purpose that God had planned for Jesus' life was taking place. It was scary in 3 days when she realized that He wasn't with him or trying to find him again. Boy, I tell you, I think from that moment on, she had confidence more in her God than anything. And that same confidence today, God wants to instill that into you. And again, if your children's 10 years old or if they're 50 years old. But remember, you're a child of God, right? Have the same confidence. His hand's upon you. He's guiding you as you listen to Him. You know? What will tomorrow bring? We don't know. But like we say, we already know who's in tomorrow. That's God. And we'll be there the next day or the next day. And one of these days, we'll hear the trumpet sound. But may we live today as if that trumpet already sounded. May we live in that peace and that strength and that joy. And may we remember that this place isn't my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a citizen of heaven. And let me tell you about the King of my kingdom. His name is Jesus. People, we got Jesus. And there's people out there that needs Him. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Amen. And thank you, mamas, for all that you do. Thank you for willing to bring babies into the world. And there's mamas. There's mamas, birth mamas. There's mamas that haven't given birth. Still mamas. I mean, I'm convinced if Adam had to deliver the first baby, the population would never went even over with, you know. But moms, in honor of Mother's Day, we give you a $5 gift card at Dairy Queen. There you go. Yep. Yep. Mama. You're welcome. Thank you, guys. Yes. Amen. Mama. Don't let Bob take that from me now. Okay. There you go. Amen. And Aaron, we take Lori Stewart. Thank you very much. Yep. Oh, and Carol White. I almost forgot. Yep. Now, Aaron, I'm going to check with them, make sure they got them. Just kidding. Well, you can stop at Dairy Queen, get their dinner, and take it down to here. I think I'd be there today, you know. But, you know, as we leave our assembly today, I just... I love you guys. And I just can't wait to see what's going to take place tomorrow. Anybody else there yet? Are you at the point where you're thinking, wow, what's going to happen tomorrow? You just can't wait to see it. Even though we don't like what we're seeing. Okay. You take what's taking place and look in the scriptures. Oh, my land sakes. I mean, it's just, I'm excited about it, you know. And I love it as we continue to pray. To see the evil being revealed in the world, because the evil has to be brought into light in order to be reckoned with, okay? Because even those who are causing evil, God still has a love for them. Amen? He went, like you said earlier, like Paul was killing Christians before he came into the light, okay? So if those who are causing the havoc and working for the devil, and say that way, comes into the light of Christ, man, look how God can use them also. So may we never forget to continue to pray for those who are in the light, those who are struggling or being attacked for being a Christian, but also pray for those who are doing the attacking, that their eyes be open to see the truth, the revelation of Jesus the Christ. Amen? Amen. Any questions today or comments?